A sandhill crane looks and sounds like a modern-day dinosaur. They stand about 3 feet tall and have a 6-foot wingspan. They use their sharp 4-inch beak for probing in the dirt and catching insects and small mammals. And sometimes they use that long beak for defense.
That beak is a very, very lethal weapon.
That's Nina Faust. She's the co-founder of Catch 'Em at Crane Watch, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the conservation of sandhill cranes.
I think they're very majestic birds. A lot of people have described them as regal. They kind of move like royalty, and they're just very elegant. And when they dance, it's just the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen.
A flock of 20 lesser sandhill cranes forages in a grassy field at Inspiration Ridge Preserve in Homer. Faust points to a group of 3 cranes standing close together.
You can see a family right there. The adults have red on the top, and they have a yellow eye. And the young are totally golden colored with no red top and a black or dark eye.
They're getting ready to migrate 2,400 miles to their overwintering grounds in Sacramento, California. But before the cranes leave in mid-September, Faust has a job to do. Every fall, she organizes a citizen science survey of the crane population on the southern Kenai Peninsula. On 3 specific days, residents contact her to report sandhill crane sightings. Using this information, she's able to estimate how big the population is each year. Habitat loss and predation can have a big effect on the crane population, says Faust. Around Kachemak Bay, bald eagles are a constant threat.
It's interesting to watch, too, because sometimes they'll see the eagle way off in the distance, and then they'll start giving this little growling call, and everybody stands up and looks, and then they all get ready. And if it gets closer, they're gone.
A large-scale die-off of common MERS seabirds in early summer attracted bald eagles to the Homer area. Faust says that many of the eagles appear to have stayed behind and are now preying on other animals, including cranes. Another potential hazard? Humans.
You almost never see them on roads, but this year there's been a problem because someone who lives on a busy road and their yard is right on the edge of a busy road started feeding them, and they showed up, and then they've been starting to walk all over the neighborhood, and it hadn't been a problem because I've never had any complaints, but now I have had people stopping me in the post office, calling me on the phone and saying, "What's with the cranes marching down the middle of roads in the middle of Homer?"
Cranes strolling in downtown areas risk getting hit by cars. They can also fly into power lines.
Gosh, they get panicked off. They can fly right into them. It breaks their wings. It can rip their beaks off. Just a horrible death.
Despite these threats, this year's survey showed that the sandhill crane population in Homer is holding steady at about 200 individuals. The population produced 47 babies this year, but only 30 survived to the end of the nesting season. That's about normal. In early September, the sandhill cranes left Homer and headed back to California's Central Valley. Faust and her fellow craniacs watched the last cranes depart for the year. She says this time of year always feels bittersweet.
It leaves a big hole in your heart.
In California, Bart McDermott is eagerly awaiting the arrival of the cranes. He manages Stone Lake National Wildlife Refuge, just south of Sacramento. He says the cranes start arriving in early October.
Well, you start to hear them first. If you're fortunate enough, you can hear kind of their prehistoric sounding cackle.
The cranes roost in wetlands at night and go out into neighboring agricultural fields during the day to forage for grain. But McDermott says the cranes are facing a growing list of threats in the Sacramento area.
Unfortunately, there's also a lot of urban development, so we've seen a lot of these fields that cranes, you know, typically go out and forage in start to be converted into housing developments.
The ongoing drought in California also poses a risk to cranes.
In order to have a wetland, you need water, and you need a lot of water. And the birds also rely on the farmers having water to be able to grow those crops. There's also concerns of wildlife diseases. You get smaller areas where you have higher concentrations of birds roosting in water, and there's the risk of disease communication and outbreaks.
The cranes will remain in California throughout the winter before heading north in late February. For now, Craniacs and Homer will have to wait until spring before these graceful giants return to nest. In Homer, I'm Shayla Farzan.